You got everything? Phone, wallet, passport?
Yeah, yeah, I think I got everything.
You know she finna start crying, right?
Be quiet, Aubrey. Listen, sweetie, make sure you call us when you get there. You know I'm gonna worry about you.
All right, yeah, I will. My flight gets in around 8:30, but, you know, I got to get some Wi-Fi first. But when I get some Wi-Fi, I'll let y'all know.
All right, man. Well, you know what to do. Handle your business.
As always, we're real proud of you, baby boy.
All right. Appreciate it. Love y'all.
Love you too.
What's good, everybody? It's Kendrick Perry here, aka KP3, aka Mr. Certified in Person, bringing you Life Across the Water. I'm joined today by my guy, Paris Lee, who's currently playing in France right now, in the top league in France with Orléans. Just a little bit of background on him. He's played in Belgium, Germany, and France. So as always, we touch on that along with, you know, how the playing atmosphere is now on and off the court with this whole pandemic going on. Stay tuned.
KP.
Yo, what's good, bro? You can hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you good. What's good with you, bro?
Chilling, bro. Just, you know, trying to adjust to everything, dog. This new reality.
It's different, man. It's different.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy, but we definitely going to start off, man, this is episode 5 of Life Across the Waters. I'm your host, KP3. I'm joined today by my boy, Chicago native Paris Lee. P. Lee, welcome, Brody.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, no problem, bro. You know, just a quick little background of our history. You know, we first ran against each other a few years ago when I was in Nizhny, you were in Antwerp. We played against each other in Champions League, and y'all boys had a hell of a year that year, man. Y'all was on a mission.
Man, bro, we had a whole bunch of a young team that just bought into whatever the coach said. And, you know, when you got a group of people that just want to win and on the same page, it makes basketball easy, man. So shout out to the coach and shout out to my teammates that year. For sure.
Nah, y'all boys was on it. And then, you know, we got to shout out Jay Sean Tate, just signed with the H-Town,
yes,
Houston
sir.
Rockets.
Yes,
that's big time, bro. I'm definitely try to get him on here because his story is definitely one that needs to be heard. You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, real quick, before we really get into the depth of the conversation, you know, I like to start off every episode with just asking asking my guests about how their mental is holding up, man. You know, we being from America, and especially this time in 2020, this past summer, we saw a lot of the racial inequalities, the systemic racism, whether it be with voter suppression, whether it be with, you know, obviously innocent Black people dying at the hands of cops and police and the police force. So, you know, I just kind of want to ask all my brothers, man, you know, mentally, how are you dealing with, you know, not just the whole pandemic going on, but just, you know, when it comes to issues in our own backyard, you know, mentally, how are you kind of coping with all that?
I'm not going to even lie, bro. Like when I was home, I was a little nervous, man. Cause you know, like you said, I'm from Chicago, but you know, I have moved to a predominantly white neighborhood when I had went home, mm-hmm. and it was just like I was just always nervous. Like, you know, I go to the gym, I'm coming home at night, I'm worried about getting pulled over or just anything, right. Man. It was a scary situation to deal with, especially with everything that was going on. Like, I don't know if you remember, but it was like the 17-year-old kid, he got a hold of some firearms and shot like two people at a protest, bro. That, like mm-hmm. you said, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Not even an hour while I was away from where I was. So mm-hmm. just to even be that close to things, man, it kind of made me it kind of made me a little unease, man. I'm not gonna lie, man. It was a situation that I would not want to have been in.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's. I mean, I can relate to the whole, predominantly white neighborhood, situation. I've lived in the suburbs pretty much my whole life, and as a kid, you don't really pay attention to that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
when you're a young adult and you look back on some instances, yeah, maybe, you'll try and put two and two together, but. It's funny, I was talking to one of my homies and I was like, it's crazy. I've lived in the same neighborhood my whole life. And now I'm more afraid than ever.
Yeah.
Bro, you know what I mean?
Because we easy targets, man. That's what it
you
is.
Know, you know what I mean? Like it's just different now, bro. Like it's just for whatever reason, everybody's on high alert. You know what I mean? And, obviously with the racial history of our people in the country, we're obviously never favored in the situation.
Definitely.
But it is what it is, bro. My whole message was to try to educate myself as much as I can on these issues and how I can go about changing them, and then try to educate others too, and then just go from there.
Yeah, bro, you're going about it the right way, man. And I definitely like what you're doing for the players over here, and just letting our voices be heard, man. It's real big, man. I appreciate you for even having me again.
Nah, of course, bro. This whole thing started, it's just as boredom in the quarantine, bro. And I told you that, when we was on the IG Live.
Yeah.
I was just bored. I was like, let me just pop my shit one time on this Instagram Live and see what comes with it. I'm gonna invite the homies that I played against and played with, and once I got the response I got, I was like, well, shit, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it the right way. We're gonna try to do it, we're gonna make this. I don't want this to be what's the thing Tory Lanez had, the quarantine radio, what I mean? Like, I don't want it to just be that, and then once everything kind of gets back to normal, then people forget about it. Like, nah, we here, we still gonna let our voices be heard, we still gonna share our experiences.
Yeah, nah, bro. That's big time what you got going on, bro. Like I said, I appreciate you having me in. Man, whatever I can do to help you grow your podcast, just let me know, bro, and I'm willing to do it. Put it on my platform, man. One scratch the other back. You know how that go, man. So just let me know anything I can help. I'm down to do it, bro.
Well, I wouldn't trip, if you send a few Puma shirts my way.
Bro, about that, man. About that, bro. I'm not even with Puma no more, man. Oh, my God.
Oh,
goodness.
That's crazy. Damn, I definitely was going to touch on that. That's crazy. Nah, we'll get into that if you want to. But,
for sure.
But first, let's kind of start off. Kind of tell the people where you've been, after college, what your pro career has been like so far.
All right, so after college, man, I went to Illinois State University, did 4 years there. After college, my first 2 years, I was in Belgium, like we touched on earlier. I was in Antwerp, Belgium, and had a very, very successful time there. We put Antwerp on the map, and I don't know if they're still in it, but they were competing for the Euro Cup this year. With that being said, my third year, I went to Bamberg. And I'm not going to lie, I'm going to keep it real. We on the podcast. It wasn't my best situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the type of person that point fingers, but I just was not in a happy spot. I was not in the best headspace at the time at Bamberg. So with that being said, we ended up parting ways. I had a 2-year deal with Bamberg, but we ended up cutting the deal short, parting ways with them. And now I'm in France. And I'm just blessed to be able to say that I got a job that's paying me pretty good money, because a lot of people here, a lot of people around aren't. It's hard finding a job this nowadays with the quarantine.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it's wicked. It's a lot of hoopers still at home.
Man, bro. And I'm talking about hoopers that got game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
But yeah, man. So I'm in Orleans, France, man. And honestly, man, I really, really like the situation I'm in. We're not playing any European competitions, but. I really like the situation I'm in. The coach cool, the team cool, man. It's just very, very nice and chill here, and I'm very happy here, man.
Yeah, bro, that's awesome to hear, bro. Especially, the best feeling is leaving a situation, that wasn't the most ideal, wasn't the best fit for whatever reason, and then finding that next year, that next situation where it's like, damn, like this feel, this is what I was searching for. You know what I mean? This is what I, it was the same way when me and Q and them boys linked up in Hungary the year after I was in Macedonia. Like, cause I always tell everybody, you know, you know, Macedonia was my, I call every, if you played this game long enough overseas basketball, I feel like every person has at least one trenches year. You know what I'm saying? Like 1 year where it's just all bad, you know, it, the money might not be on time. The team might not be good, you know, whatever the case may be. You personally have a trenches year.
Definitely.
So, for me, that Macedonia, that was my trenches year. So when I come to Hungary the next year and then we winning games and everybody's just clicking and then, you know, we went in, you know, we went in the cup, we were in the championship. You know, that's a that's a good feeling, bro. So it's good to hear that, you know what I'm saying, you in a good headspace right now, you know, given some of the stuff you went through in the previous year.
Definitely, bro. I appreciate that, man. It's like you said, it's not even always about the money. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we come over to play to get paid, but like I feel like my most important aspect of basketball is where you happy, you know?
Yeah, and it's gotta be your mental health.
Bro, listen, you about to probably think I'm like playing around when I say this, bro, but like I'm a grown ass man, bro, and I was damn near in tears on the phone with my big brother. That's how messed up out in the head I was last year, bro.
I'm telling you, bro, it can, this game could do that to you, bro.
Bro,
it can do
bad,
that to you,
man. I'm telling you, but like you said, bro, like that was my trenches year, and I'm actually having fun with this team, man. The coach, man, he gave me so much, bro. This is the most freedom I've ever had, and I still don't know how to deal with it, bro. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so used to playing in the system, and the coach sometimes get on me, like, man, bro, you gotta go, you gotta control it, you gotta do it. Like, I'm like, man,
right,
you know. So like, I'm very pleased and I'm very happy. My goal is to get them in the cup next year, so that's what I'm planning on doing, man.
Nah, that's facts, bro. You know, it's been a strange time. You know, I haven't really been able to, you know, keep up with everybody because, you know, our games are fucking getting canceled left and right too. You know, we were supposed to play yesterday, but you know, the whole COVID gets to a team, and you know, now they shut it down for, you know, however many days they got to shut it down, and just sets everything back, bro. But you know, so. Kind of segueing into my next point, bro, because I know France was one of the did they come back? They didn't come back, did they?
Not yet. Well, so what we got going on this year is basically, I mean, what we got going on now is the a lot of teams in France agreed not to play without fans because, of course, the money, revenue, all that stuff.
Right.
So they took a long break because a lot of it would have like hurt a lot of teams' pockets, you know, to play without fans. So what they were doing is like they were playing against like the teams that's like in the competitions, like Champions League and Euro Cup and stuff like that. They were saying like, okay, we could just knock one of the games out, but y'all have to come here because, you know, it won't hurt their pockets, basically is what they saying. So so you got teams like Monaco, Asvel, Dijon,
Nanterre,
just to name a couple of the teams. Just basically was like, yeah, we'll play, you know. So now basically we have to play a couple of games. Like, we playing a cup game on Tuesday, and it's because like if we don't play this game, then we're gonna be like completely behind, because the next cup game is like, I think, in February, and then we got to make up two games for the rest of this month, and I think we're gonna take like a longer break all the way till like the middle of January. So I like how they're handling it here. They really caring about the players. They not like forcing us to play anything, and I like that.
Right.
You know, so they took their time, and now that the numbers are kind of going down, they're gonna slowly try to get it back going. And I heard in January that we might be able to play with like fans.
With fans,
yeah, not too many, but with fans though. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. With us, it's like, we like they're monitoring stuff, like they're trying to, it's in Slovenia. I can't speak for like the other countries within the I believe, but in Slovenia, they're trying to, like, it seems like they're trying to kind of stop it before it gets too crazy. You know what I mean? Like we got a curfew, a mandatory curfew. There's like travel restrictions within the city. Like I wouldn't be able to go to like the next city over. You know what I mean? Like I would have to stay in Ljubljana, which is my city. Even that, I think there's like public transportation restrictions, like a whole bunch of stuff. Everything's closed except for the gas station and the grocery store. So it's definitely wicked. And then, you know, on the court, you know, obviously we're not playing with fans, and we might have a shoot around for the game day,
Yeah,
but then, you
nasty.
know, we come in the shoot around and they're like, oh, you know, that team has X amount of players positive, so you know they didn't
Man, that's
travel and they didn't go.
annoying, bro.
Yeah, you know, and then you know, we as players, we'd be like, you know, damn, we gotta practice more. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
bro.
Like we not even, you know, like it's like, damn, we gotta practice, because you know our game was supposed to be Saturday. Now we don't got a game till Tuesday. So instead of, you know, maybe one day is the game, one day is the travel day, you practicing both them days. It's like, you know, which is necessary, but it's like, yo, we come here to play the games, you know? Ain't nobody trying to practice all week.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that, man. But I mean, but it just like I ain't gonna lie, like my coach, he's been very, very like with this schedule, bro. Like I can't say this about like last year, bro. Like and Bel I mean in Germany, bro, if we was having this situation right now, bro, I would not be this calm. Like we'd be doing tour days still, we'll be having crazy weight sessions still, like it'd be crazy. But my coach, he's taking it very, very light. Like some days he'd come in, he'd be like, hey, look, we're gonna come in and lift, and then we're gonna just shoot, and y'all done for the day. Or we had just one practice, we just play 5-on-5 just to get up and down the court, like stuff like that. We hoopers, like that's cool. But you got some coaches that want to kill, like that want to kill you, like they thinking that killing you gonna keep you prepared, and it's not always the case like that. You know what I'm saying? So my coach, man, he's been doing a very good job of just keeping us ready, but still letting us not like not burn us out, if that makes sense, you know?
No, it definitely makes
Yeah.
sense. I mean, it makes sense to the point where I'm like, yo, I need, you know, you know, I,
Yeah.
you know, it's you know, but it's kind of different with us, because you know we're playing two a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when we it, he hit our coach is like, he's got the mentality like, when we do practice, we gotta practice, because you know, two games a week,
Yeah.
we're not gonna be able to, you know, we're not gonna be able to fit in as much practicing as if, you know, we weren't playing two a week.
Definitely remember those days,
So you
man.
know, it's a little different, but you know, I will say he's not killing us with the 2-a-days. You know, we'll just come in one session in the afternoon and be straight. But
That's all that matters. As long as
yeah.
you ain't getting killed and you feel like you're not doing too much, then that. Because, bro, like around this time, bro, like you can really go crazy just by not being in the right headspace, bro. So, I mean, coaches really got to be smart with how they handle things with their players, because a lot of players, like mentally, could be done. You know, not playing and just practicing, like you said, bro, that is draining.
Facts. Facts, bro. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because my next topic was gonna be, you know, just kind of touch on for the people what it's like during this time. You know, the holidays are right around. I mean, the holidays are pretty much here. You know what I mean? Let's see, because I want to paint it in the light that we obviously know, but you know, the average person may not. So there's a break. There's a national team break in the about in the end of November. And for those of y'all that don't know what the national team is, that's when, you know, the players from Hungary and Slovenia and France and wherever compete for you know, the qualifiers for the World Cup. So within that time, you know, there's a break of games. There's a break from games. So, you know, depending on your coach, your situation, or whatever, he might allow you some days off. You know, that all depends. But usually, there's, what would you say, bro? Maybe like 2 weeks off from games.
Yeah. So 2 weeks, no games.
2 weeks, no games. So, you know, coaches might give you 5 days off. Some coaches might give you 2 days off, you know.
Yeah.
But when you come back, you're practicing without playing games. So, you know, those practices are a little more intense. And they're a little longer because you're not playing games. You know, this is the one time a day that a coach might really be able to, you know, push to get you to that game level. So, you know, they're a little harder. So you throw that on top of the fact that, you know, it's the holidays, and you know, you see your family at you know, they preparing for Thanksgiving, and after Thanksgiving they setting up the lights for Christmas. And you know, if you like me, you know, I'm a Florida boy. So once I start to see snow, I start to get real uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? I start to get real uncomfortable when I start to see the snow. But you know, it's like you said, it gets darker earlier. You know what I mean? Like it's just things that, especially now, if you're sitting in the house because of the pandemic and there's nothing really to do, it can get boring. It can get depressing really quick.
Yeah, for sure.
So just kind of talk about, you know, what it's like practicing and just staying mentally sharp, not even more so physically, but more so mentally sharp during those times.
Well, I mean, I look at it like this. Like, I know I'm not where I want to be. Like, I'm not saying I'm not happy here, but I look at it like I know I'm not where I want to be, which ultimately I would like to be either EuroLeague or the NBA. So
for sure,
when it comes down to practicing and stuff, I just kind of put that as my mental, like, man, I'm not where I want to be. So I don't mind just coming in and just tricking my mind and like going hard, you know. Like sometimes you got to, I call it fake it till you make it, you know. Like sometimes you got to bring that fake energy to get through stuff. But it's hard, man. Like it's definitely hard. It's not an easy task to do. And like you said, man, you just got to, your mental got to be crazy strong out here during these times, man. Listen, bro, Thanksgiving, bro, I literally had a pizza. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My family at the crib eating greens, yams, dressing, all that good stuff. And I had a pizza.
All the works.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, right. I was in my feelings during Thanksgiving, bro, because I just see all my family members having fun. And it's just like, I mean, of course they wish you were there, but it's just without you. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's tough, but I mean, that's what we pay to sign. That's what we get signed up to pay for. I mean, this is what we get paid for. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's what comes with the life.
Exactly, man. So I try my best not to have no self pity party over here. You know, even my mom, she called me like in the beginning of the day and was telling me like everything she was making, but I just told her like, look, man, I love y'all, but I'd rather you not even call me while y'all.
All right, I ain't trying to. Y'all call me after y'all eat.
You know what
something,
I'm saying?
Bro. Like. Yeah, don't show me no plates and all that.
But it's definitely a mental thing, man. You got to be mentally strong. First year out, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I tip my hat off to all the rookies out there that's going hard out here without their family and stuff. But as a fourth year pro, it's light, man. I'm like, it's cool. I'm used to it now.
Yeah, that's a fact, bro. And you definitely said something with the rookies, bro, because. To any rookie listening to this right now, bro, if you can make it through a year like this, your first year out, this really might be your trenches year, regardless of whatever else happens, bro. This might be your
exactly.
trenches year off the gate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was lucky, nigga. My first year, I was in Australia. You know
Ooh.
What I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I was in Australia, so I got very lucky. But my first year in Europe, that opened my eyes to a lot. You know what I'm saying? So if you going through one of those years like that, and it just so happens that you throw on the pandemic on top of that, and you still pushing through, you still coming, showing up and putting up numbers and, you know, doing what you got to do, then I commend you for that. Because as a rookie, that definitely can fuck with your mental.
Man, for real, bro. Because, I mean, like you just said, bro, if you can get through this year, bro, there's no way you can't survive overseas. It's that simple. Like,
agreed.
It's that simple, bro. Like, cause as a rookie, like my rookie year, bro, it was like I had a family. Antwerp was like family made. Everything was good, but I still was homesick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
If you're a rookie and you're going through this, man, like I said, I tip my head off to you, man, for real.
Yeah, bro. And if you're a rookie listening to this. Hopefully you can be in a position like some of us, you know, you might be able to finesse a little French bulldog, you know what I'm saying, to keep you company.
Oh yeah,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? Yo, your young homie be having me dead on IG, bro. Young Blue.
Bro, this dude, bro, the man's right here next to me, sleep right here.
I'm sure he is, bro. I'll be like, yo, because, bro, I'm telling you, I want a French bulldog so bad, bro, so bad. But, you know, I just never really been able to come across one. And, you know, the whole, do I take them with me overseas? You know, that whole conversation. But, bro, I think, like, watching your IG stories, bro, it's like, all right, nah, I got to get it. Like, I got to, bro. Like, he Like they make it look so much fun, bro.
I feel like I got a roommate, bro. Like I don't even feel like he's my dog. I feel like I got a roommate, bro. This little dude, bro. He's like a human, bro. You gonna love him, bro. I love my little man, bro.
I've seen nothing but good things when I see like people interact with French Bulldogs, bro. So I'm like, yeah, I gotta get one sooner or later, bro.
Definitely, bro. This, like you said, this is definitely helping me get through a lot of stuff too. Man, just having him here when I come home for practice, he hype when he see me. He still be getting his whoopings here and there when he do something stupid. But I love my little man, bro. I wouldn't trade this little dude for nothing, man. For real, it's my little dude.
Nah, that's funny, bro. But all right, bro. I ain't gonna take up too much of your time, bro. If there's anything else you want to add, bro, you know the floor is yours, my boy. If you tell the people where they can get at you on IG, you know, tell them where they can follow Blue. All that.
Oh man, yeah, you can follow me on IG, man, at _PLee1. And if you want to see my pup, man, his name on Instagram is, dang, what is this dude's name? I think _BlueLee, _BLULEE. Hey, bro. All
right, man. When I posted on the Instagram, I'm gonna have all that in the caption anyway. So,
hey, bro, it was been real, man. I appreciate you having me on your podcast, man. It's big time, bro.
Yeah, no problem, bro. You know how we rock, bro. You know, I always tell people, bro, you know, yeah, we gonna compete on the court, but off the court is bigger than hoop, bro. So you know what it is, bro.
You already know, bro. All love, bro. I appreciate you again, man.
Always, my guy. I'll holler at you. Yep.
And that's a wrap. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening this whole time. We'll be back soon with another episode, so stay tuned. Life Across the Water, KP3, certified in person.